Hi, I'm Ron. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's good to be here. I hope that this is a benefit to those listening. I want to thank Janet for asking me. I want to start with some basic information about myself in terms of OA and what it's done for me. My weight now is 220 pounds. Weight loss close to 100 pounds. At one time, all I wore was overalls, and that was in junior high school back in the 70s, and junior college, I'm sorry, junior college in the 70s. And that's not really all I could wear was the overalls, the Oshkosh overalls, if you remember those. And I didn't feel embarrassed about it. It was just hanging out with the girls and the guys. And the hardest part I'll get to was when I was in grade school, but college wasn't that bad. I liked learning. So I'm maintaining a weight loss of probably about 80 pounds. How did it happen? Okay. So I want to tell my story a bit to you so you know what I grew up with. My family, it was a family of addiction. My dad was an alcoholic. He went into rages, but in addition to alcohol, food was another addiction. He tried OA a number of times. It never worked for him. I could never figure out why. But he tried his best, tried all sorts of crazy diets. I discovered my drug through my father. I'm not blaming my addiction on my dad, but he was an excellent negative model. So he would bring home ice cream and Oreo cookies just about every Friday night, and we were expected to eat with him. It wasn't even a question. He just assumed that we would have this sort of this euphoric response to food as he did, and I did. So it was easy for me to fall right into it, and I did. I would go into the refrigerator at about 2 a.m. in the morning, a number of times a week, and I would go for that ice cream that he bought because it was always extra. And I never felt guilty about it for some reason. It was just like my thing. It was a part of me, and I needed it, and so I took it. And no one said anything. There was secrecy, and I was like, my mom never called me on it. Like, what happened to the ice cream, Ron? She never did that. And my drug relieved my feelings of separation from the family, from kids at school, from everything. And I wore this mask up until very recently through therapy and going to meetings and sharing with my friends at meetings about who I really was. I'm not sure I know the answer to that, but I know that I'm not a thing. I'm not a, something to be discarded, like what I felt like for many years. My drug relieved me of all of those feelings of alienation, and that's what it did for me. What made the change? How did I get into OA? I tried several times to get into OA, and I remember knocking on the door, going into a meeting, sitting at meetings, feeling like I really shouldn't need this, so I would leave and come back and leave and come back. It wasn't until 2007 that I found a meeting that I really embraced, and they embraced me. And when I felt embraced by them, I really couldn't leave because that was the love that I didn't feel from anyone up until then. My sponsor was a female. She was a wonderful, very spiritual woman. I worked with her for 3 years. She was very patient with me. My weight loss wasn't that great, but it was okay with her. As long as I worked the program to the best of my ability. I've had good sponsors all the way through. I've been blessed for that. What's the key for me? Surrender. When you're a confirmed compulsive eater like me, and you have that disease of compulsive overeating with overwhelming urges sometimes to eat, forgetting to surrender doesn't make any sense. You have to surrender. I've taught myself. I have to surrender that I don't have the power to stop myself, but my higher power does. You take it. I just push it over to higher power, and then my higher power takes the load of the disease, and then he frees me from it. Also, my sponsor is very helpful, and service. I'm so glad to be here tonight because I take one sponsee at a time, pretty much, maybe two, and my last sponsee didn't make it, and so I've been without someone to sponsor for several months, and so this really fills in the gap for service. I want to thank you all again. Surrender for me is a must, and I have to do it each day, and sometimes minute by minute. My OA sponsor assists me in doing that. It's a service that I get from him, which also keeps him sober too. His name's Roger. He's a wonderfully intelligent man, very thin, lost a lot of weight, and he says it's life or death, Ron. He says it's just life or death. And he had fatty heart disease, and he could have died. So he knows if he goes back to eating, he'll probably go back where he was, and then he could die. So it's very important for him to live and important for me. So I'm glad that he's on his program. Contact with OA members is a must, but the truth about me, I don't like any of it. I wrote this actually in 2017. This is from my journal. So I may have changed a bit. I think I do like it more than I did back in 2017. I'm going to read you something back from 2017 that comes from my journal. I had an overwhelming urge today to have a frappe at Starbucks. I convinced myself I could. Didn't text my sponsor, didn't call another OA, I did nothing. After 5 minutes, I felt very sick after I drank it. When I got home, I dumped the thing in the kitchen sink, what was left of it. What I should have done is surrendered to my higher power first, then let others know what I needed to do, would do, needed help, or whatever. I should have checked in, but I didn't. And that, for me, is like the template of a relapse. Is that you want it so badly, and so you got it, you throw everything else out of your head to go get that. But that should be a warning sign that you need to surrender, because why? Because you're unmanageable. It's step one, unmanageable and powerless. And I believe that I'm always going to be unmanageable and powerless around food, especially Thanksgiving, Christmas time, and all those wonderful holidays. My program is in good shape now, and I made these six lifestyle changes. So I'll just read them to you. I took the advice of my sponsor and make daily commitments. I attend at least one OA meeting per week. And I am back to daily renewals with a person. Actually, it's twice a week now, but it used to be daily. I make calls to other OA members regularly, not as regularly as I should actually, but there are two people that I call. So, someone here in Wisconsin where I live. And then the other person is in Colorado. I tell the truth about my weaknesses. So that's why I'm enjoying this. And I hope you are too, because I have a lot of weaknesses with regard to food. One of my weaknesses is if I don't do a meal plan, sometimes I won't send it to him till late. And he's told me, my sponsor, you need to send it to me in the morning, not at 2 a.m., not at 2 p.m. or later, which I've done. And I think it's my addict just sort of like, hey, I could probably get away with doing what I want until 2 o'clock, and then I'll send them my meal plan. It's probably something sneaky like that. I'm not sure. I want to talk about unmanageability a bit. It's longing for a false freedom. When I get sick in my head, I want to go back to the way things were when I ate anything I wanted. And I think of it as freedom, but it's not freedom. It's actually putting my hands out, put the shackles on. Really, that's what it is. But my addict thinks it's freedom, but that's false. So that's another reason I need to come to meetings and talk to people during the week, is because I can stop deluding myself if I have any of those thoughts. What else? The disease of compulsive overeating is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I love my first meetings in OA because they read from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I would often run across things that I stuck in my head, like the 10 promises on page, I believe, 83 of the big book, of the hard copy. I want to read that actually as soon as I can, maybe tonight. Working the program as hard as I can, I think that's helped me. And having a good sponsor who expects me to apply myself and then heed his or her advice. So that includes working the steps. I've done all of the steps, and I think I'm about step 11 and 12 right now, but I work the steps as I need to. And I'm always holding on to step 1, 2, and 3 to remember that I really haven't essentially changed, but my higher power is changing me, but I still need work on a daily basis. Character defects have to be identified. I read in a piece of 12-step literature recently that character defects are as toxic as the drug itself, and we can become toxic and not even know it. So that's why step 4 and 5 are so important, because we learn what our character defects are, then we go to 6 and 7, and in 6, we become willing to have God remove our defects of character, and in 7, we let him remove our defects of character in God's time. I love step 6 and 7. There's a good book called Drop the Rock that I would recommend that talks about the weight that we carry until we drop that rock of shame and that rock of hyper sort of responsibility to fix ourselves. But we can't fix ourselves, and so we blame ourselves for that. So Drop the Rock, it's a good book. So who is me? This is my conclusion. Who is me? I started thinking when I was a kid that I'm a thing. I wasn't a person because I didn't feel like a person. Now I can say with sincerity and with conviction that I am a child of God. And I don't have to prove myself with every encounter. I can be myself. I'm good enough. And I think that's where I always wanted to go. And what brought me here was OA and my other 12-step program that I'm in too. So I think that I'll stop there and just thank you again for your graciousness and to let me come here to your meeting tonight. And I hope to return and visit you often. Thank you.